This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Amen. You may please be seated. God bless you. How's everybody doing today? You are welcome to church in Jesus' name. Amen. But before we go into the word this morning, I have a few announcements for us. Some of them just a reminder. This is to remind us that tomorrow, by the special grace of God, we're going to start our fast that has been previously advertised. To pray for the nations of the world. The ushers will be handing out the prayer point for each of the days. Brethren, if we pray, God will move. Amen? Amen? The Bible says, let anyone that names the name of the Lord not be silent. Part of the problem in the world today is the church is silent. And you have heard it said before that when good people are silent, evil will prevail. Amen? I want us to stand in the gap for the nations of the world and for this nation, the United States of America, because this is where you and I live. This is home for us, at least in the meantime, until we decide whether or not we are relocating back home, wherever home is for us. But while we're here, this is our Jerusalem, and it's important that we pray for the nation, the United States of America. And not just the United States of America, we'll be praying for the nations of the world as well. Amen? That God will deliver us from the terror that flies by night and by noonday, in the mighty name of Jesus. Also, the co-pastor is in Nigeria at this time. She had some preaching engagements, and that's why she was not here last Sunday, and she's not here today. She sends her love and greetings from Nigeria. We pray that the Lord will bring her back safely, in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, last Sunday, while I was showing us those slides, one of the slides said that there had been terrorist attack in Benue State this year. You know, and at that time, she was in Benue State. I said, that will not be my wife's portion. My wife will come back safely, in one piece, in the name of Jesus. And there is nothing selfish about that. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Amen? But we have the flyers for the convention. The ushers have it. Brethren, our convention is going to be in June. The convention is the one time that we are guaranteed that the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God will be present. And by the special grace of God, the general overseer is a man that has been used of God and is still being used of God. Is the most sought after preacher, teacher, a man of God. I had a not so pleasant news yesterday that our convention might be every other year now. Because it seemed like in America we don't care about those things. But I know we care, you know, so I want to encourage us, start making plants, you know. Please let me have one. If you can't make it all week, the Friday night especially, that's the equivalent of what we do here once a month that we call Festival of Life Service. And the general overseer will be missing. He will be ministering. It will be ministering. You know what threw me off? Our second major program this year Word Fest will be coming up in July. Hallelujah. And the theme of it is In the Days of His Power. So when I saw In the Days of His, I just misspoke when I was speaking, you know, but it's In the Days of His Fullness. In the Days of His Fullness. I want you to make plans. This is from June 15th till the 17th. If for any reason, that will be from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If for any reason at all, you can't make it Wednesday, you can't make it Thursday, you don't want to miss Friday. It is a life-transforming service. You know, and many people, some people here, you know, the problem is you don't even know how to get there and all of these things. We're making arrangements for transportation. But I had a good news yesterday as well, you know, because the last time we made arrangement for transportation, we paid $2,500 for that huge bus, you know, and people just didn't take it seriously, you know. But at that time, they had to pay for it. But this time, the bus is going to be free. But here's the catch. I say amen. That's good. I love the amen. I love the amen. It's an agreement. It's going to be free. You're not going to pay for it. But you are going to reserve space for yourself on the bus by paying money. So on the day of, as you are entering the bus, they will give you your refund. So if you reserve space and you don't show up, guess what? We're still going to pay for the bus. So we will keep that money. It will discount the rate at which we are paying. Because we are getting those, is it coach bus you call it? Yes? Okay, we are getting the coach bus. It's people of God, it's $2,500. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. You know, so, but this time it's going to be free. Amen? So you're going to sign up. When you sign up, you will sign up with a fee of $50. Amen. Amen. But that $50 is refundable to you. Amen. Amen. If we get more people, then maybe we'll get two coach buses. You know, and this is across the zone. All the churches in our zone are participating in this. I want to encourage us, may you experience the days of His fullness. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every gap in your life, in my life, God will fill it. In the mighty name of Jesus. I need a t-shirt too, please. So the t-shirt that was presented last week. Thank you. You know, I was told that some people said, oh, come on now. Why are you charging $20 for a t-shirt? Well, the t-shirts are not on sale. Remember, last week we talked about the power of atonement. And we talked about how Christ has saved us. How He atoned for our sins. And all that He has asked us to do now is that we go ye and preach the gospel to others. Amen. The number one purpose of this is for you to be a witness that I am 100% for Jesus. I'm not half-stepping. I'm 100% for Jesus. Amen. And while you're doing it, as you get this to be a witness, you are also supporting our missions effort. We'll be going again to Mexico this year, May the 12th to the 14th. And what we plan to do is to get some new diagnostic kits that we can use so that we can be more efficient. And when we come back from Mexico, those new diagnostic kits that we're getting, we're going to be using them here because once a month, we're going to be having clinic, weekend clinic in the church. That's the part where you clap. You know, God has favored us. We have nurse practitioners, we have doctors, we have nurses, we have all this medical personnel in the church. So we want to give back. We want to give back. Amen. So once in a month, we're going to do that. So we'll be measuring cholesterol. We'll be measuring not just with the glucometers, checking blood sugar. We're going to be checking the hemoglobin A1C. Amen. And we also have pharmacists in the house. The pharmacist in the house will be helping us review medications for those that are on medication so that you can check for drug interactions that are adverse. Amen. So when you pick up one of these, you are supporting our missions effort. Sorry, I didn't mean to clean my shoes with it. My shoes are not dirty, though. Shiny. All right. You know, so for a minimum donation of $20, you can have a T-shirt. We have different colors, different sizes. There's green, there's red, there's different colors. No white. Black, blue, purple, you know. But the table is set in the back there. Please pick one. The counter should start counting. Please pick one, and the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. For a minimum donation of $20. I'm trusting God that there will be at least 50 people here today that will pick it for $50. You know, the bill we have for the equipment that we need to buy is about $4,000. You know, so this is an effort to raise funds to make that happen. You know, so if we have 50 people, aka your people, the timer is not working. So for 50 people supporting the mission with $50, that's $2,500. That will take us very close to our target. And if we have an additional 50, you know, doing between 20 and 50, we'll definitely make it there. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yes.
Amen. Let your yes show forth in picking up the T-shirt. So be a witness and support missions. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Eternal Rock of Ages, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jehovah, we appreciate you. Daddy, our lives are sacrifices unto you. Because, Lord, you are the one that has saved us. You came, you laid down your life, and you saved our soul. Daddy, we thank you. We give you praise. Lord, no better life than this. Daddy, we thank you. Jehovah, we praise you. Lord, you have given us your word so that we will not be lost in the journey of life. Jehovah, as we look into your word of life this morning, Jehovah, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Daddy, teach us by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Glory and honor be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Brenda, I want us to please rise up to our feet for a minute or two. And I just want us to worship the Lord. Glorious God, beautiful King, excellent God, I bow before your throne. Glorious, glorious,
God,
beautiful,
King,
excellent
God,
I bow before your throne. I bow before your throne.
Worship at your feet.
Brethren, worship the Lord. He is God, and besides him there is none else. He is a glorious God, the living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I am that I am. Bow before your throne, Lord. You're the glorious God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we bow our hearts. We bow our knees. We bow everything before you this morning. Take all glory and honor, dominion and power forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. You can remain standing while we read. Just two verses of scripture. Romans chapter 12. It's a scripture I'm sure many of us are quite familiar with. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God bless the reading of his word, and you may please be seated. The last time, last Sunday, we were talking about the power of atonement, that God has, through the atonement, given us power, the ability to be saved, to be delivered from dead works, to be alive unto God. And these things were quite evident in the early church. We saw a demonstration of the Spirit of God, the power of God, in the early church. The disciples showed forth this. We know the disciples were very timid, because the Bible says when Jesus was arrested, all of them went into hiding. Every single one of them, they went into hiding. And the only one that did not go into hiding followed him from afar. And the one that was close by that followed from afar denied him three times. So we knew these guys were petrified when Jesus was arrested. But they had an encounter in Acts chapter 2. And after that encounter, this guy that showed very little courage all of a sudden became very bold. The Bible says he spoke to the crowd, and 3,000 people surrendered their life to Christ. The same Peter that was fearful, the Bible says as he continued on after Jesus had resurrected and had ascended to heaven, this same Peter became so good at what God had called them to do that they laid sick people, they sought his itinerary to find out where he was going to walk by. And when they discovered his walk path, they laid sick people along his path, guess what? So that his shadow can touch them. This was a man that was very fearful. We saw a lot of this demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God in the New Testament church, in the early church, but not so much today. You know, many years ago, Apple introduced a product to the market that they called the Macintosh computer. And when Apple was going to introduce this product, they said this product that they are bringing into the market is going to challenge the status quo. They said this product that they are bringing into the market is going to be very easy to use. And more importantly, they said this product will be user-friendly. Well, the rest is history today. You know that product did challenge the status quo. For example, the only PC product that I have is this Surface. You know, my computer is a Mac computer. So they did challenge the status quo And what they wanted to do was to create a product that was more user-friendly. The first computer I had was an MS-DOS. You know, when you are playing game, it's shooting. So you are using the cursor. Well, some of you were still in diapers back then. Listen to this. Unfortunately, it seemed like as Apple was introducing their product, the enemy introduced a product to the church as well. Because during that period, the church also shifted from being a discipling church, from being a church, a body of believers that taught the word of God to user friendliness. And it was during that period that the phrase came to be that we are a seeker-friendly church. So in church today, it is not unusual that you will walk into church and you begin to ask yourself, is this a therapy session? Or is this a psychology class? Or am I in church? So the things we begin to teach now are the seven steps to success and all of these things. It's all very selfish gospel. Nothing that rebukes or chastises the hearer. Jesus said to Peter, when he told the disciples, he said, I'm going to die. Peter said, you will not die. He said, in fact, I will kill before they will kill you. Before you will die, I will die myself. And as soon as he was arrested, what did he do? He denied him. When he said that, Jesus rebuked him sharply. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot say that to a believer today. So can you imagine he called me Satan? Why? Because we have been conditioned to feel good. We have been conditioned to feel good. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Today's believer don't want to suffer. We just want to enjoy life. Let's go back to our text. In the verse 1, I just want to point out 5 things very quickly, and then we will move on, because there's a lot of ground for us to cover this morning. Say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. You know, like I always say, English is not my first language. You know that already. I've said it so many times that you are convinced of it. But you cannot start a statement like this, I beseech you, therefore. The fact that he included therefore there is telling you that this conversation is not just beginning. I beseech you, therefore. He's saying, what I'm about to say is a consequence of some things I said before. So when you read this text and you just keep reading, you have done yourself a great disservice. Say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you. I'm appealing to you because of some of the things I said to you before. So let's back up to Romans 11. And this time, I need the New Living Translation that you were showing before. Romans 11, we'll read from verse 16. Romans 11 from verse 16 from the New Living Translation. It says, and since Abraham and other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy, just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be holy too. It's making a point. It's building it up. Next verse. Say, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you, Gentiles, that's referring to us, and you, Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. Remember that Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So he's writing to the Gentiles, all right? But he had told them all of these things before he began to beseech them by the mercies of God. So he said, you were grafted in. You were not part of that tree. But some, because some misbehaved, they were disobedient, because of their unbelief, he said that branch was broken off. And you were grafted in. Amen? So now also, receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children. That's why we can sing Abraham's blessings are mine. Sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive. Next verse. He said, but you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Next verse. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. So he's saying, the same way that branch was broken off, even though you have been engrafted into that tree, you can also be broken off. Let's jump back to Romans 12, 1 now. So he's saying, because of these things that I've told you, therefore, I beg you, be careful how you live this life. I beseech you by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, I beg you, I plead with you. I plead with you, brethren, I plead with you by the mercies of God. You know, in my study, I found out that there are many words translated mercy from Greek and Hebrew. But one of the words that I like about mercy that really gave me a depth of understanding of the meaning of the mercy of God is this. When a woman is pregnant, there is a lot of discomfort. Do I have any pregnant woman in the house this morning? You want to lay on the right side, the baby is kicking. So you have to turn to the other side. When the baby is moving in the belly, you know, the husband is excited. He says, oh, I see him, he's moving. I see the feet. And while he's having fun, he falls asleep. Because babies are more active at night than during the day. During the day, when the mother is walking about and moving around, the baby is sleeping. It's a very comfortable place in there. The amniotic fluid, it cushions everything. It's just rocking the baby and the baby is sleeping. You see, Simi is Anu is smiling because she just recovered. You know, the baby is moving. So at night, the mother is so uncomfortable. But guess what? That mother loves that baby. Even though she has not seen that baby, she's making plans for that baby. She said, baby, when you arrive, you are arriving to life. You are going to chop this life. You are going to enjoy this. And she's buying things. She's making preparations. Even though the baby is causing her pain. That is mercy. That's mercy. Even though your life and my life has caused God a great deal of pain, and we deserve the wrath of God, he gave his only begotten son to die for us. And he says, in the light of this, I beg you, people of God, I beseech you, I plead with you by the mercies of God. That you present your lives as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. It means you and I ought to live our lives for the one that gave his life for us. Can you please revert to Old King James, please? It means the same way he died for us, we should die to self. Amen? The same way he gave everything up for us, we should give everything up for him. Our lives must be about the Savior, the one that laid down his life for us. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, usually the sacrifice, they put it a burnt offering. They kill it, and then they burn it to ashes. Nothing else is remaining. Amen? That is how we ought to live. When your ego can still be hurt, you're not a living sacrifice. I'm not a living sacrifice. If I still have ego, I still have reputation, can you imagine how he greeted me? You know, the other day somebody was greeting me. I was going, "How are you, Pastor?" I'm like, "Do you do that in your culture?" She said, "No." I said, "So why are you doing it?" He said, "Because I see everybody." Some people, their knees are bended, but their hearts are straight up. It's not in the action. It's in the heart. That is why the Bible says, don't rend your heart, your garment. Don't rend your garment. Rend your hearts. Rend your hearts. He said, "I beseech you, by the mercies of God, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." The living sacrifice is the only thing that is acceptable unto God. He said that living sacrifice is holy and acceptable unto God. So the first thing is an appeal, and I beg us as a people and as a church. Friends, I truly believe that if the church will live up to its bidding, we can change the world. The problem with us is the church are so much blended with the world that you can't tell the difference anymore. On the job, believers don't stand out anymore. In fact, it's now a saying that, "Oh, no, I don't want to wear my Christianity as a badge." You should. Apostle Paul said, "Because I bear the mark of Christ upon me." You must bear that mark everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. The first thing they must recognize about you is you are a believer. Either by the things you do, or you just tell them straight up, "I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ." And guess what? Once they know you are a follower of Christ, and you know they know that you are a follower of Christ, it puts you in check. Because the next time you behave, misbehave, they're going to remind you. "Didn't you say?" So it helps you live a better life. But let's jump to verse 2 quickly, which is where I'm really going today. It said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The number one thing you must see there is, do not be conformed. Do not conform. Friends, how many of us will agree with me if I say we have conformed? In fashion, we have conformed. You know, so the world is sagging their pants. Believers are sagging their pants. The world is showing cleavage. Believers are showing cleavage. How are we different from them? And the scripture says, "Be ye separate." Be different. Stand out. The very thing you are trying to blur is what the scripture says you must do. A living sacrifice. He said, "Do not be conformed." Don't be like them. Don't go where they go. Don't do stuff they do. Don't be like them. He said, "Do not be conformed, but rather be transformed." But rather be transformed. How many of us know a little bit of chemistry? You know about isomers, you know, cis, isomer, eh? And trans isomers. The word "trans" is a Latin word that means to change thoroughly. So when it says be transformed, it's saying you must change in form thoroughly. So it means the day I gave my life to Christ, people that knew me before, as I continue to walk my walk, must begin to ask questions. What's up with you? What's up with you? Because some things just naturally, you are not trying to change, but some things must just naturally, it will just not be your lifestyle anymore. I had a lot of dirty pranks. I've told some of them before. I don't live like that anymore. Anyway, plus I'm older now. Hopefully, as you are older, you are wiser. I think I'm a little wiser now. There's some foolish things I did in the past. But listen to this. He said, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. That word transform, another word, the word that was translated transform is metamorphosis. That's where they got metamorphosis from. No, we are not doing hippopotamus today. H-I-P for the hip, for the hippopo. P-O-P-O for the hippopo. And T-A-M-U-S for the hippopotamus. No, it's hippopotamus. All you Africans, it's hippopotamus. I've practiced. You see, I can say it well. Hippopotamus. Anyway, let's come back to this. You know, so to be transformed means to go through a metamorphosis. A metamorphosis. And in metamorphosis, things are lost. Tadpole is. A tadpole before. Okay, how many of us know what a tadpole is? Okay. If you have seen a tadpole before and you see a frog or a toad, there's a big difference. The frog does not have a tail. But the tadpole does. The tadpole goes through a metamorphosis. It changes thoroughly in form and is a new creature that is created out of it. Do you still have the old nature now that you're born again? Or you have the new nature? Friends, please hear me closely. Hear me closely this morning. Many people have believed the lie that God understands. Friends, God will severely punish sin. Remember, I talked about one of the reasons why we needed atonement last week. It's because sin will provoke the wrath of God. It brings the wrath of God. And we don't want that. And God himself does not want that. That is why he made provision for us. But now that you are saved, bought with a price. Bought with a price. We must live for the one that died for us. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Friends, there's Bible study here on Tuesdays. Unfortunately, this past Tuesday, I couldn't make it, you know, and I've had, is it Raven? Reports, reviews. I've had raving reviews. Because we started a series this Tuesday on the Trinity. Many of us cannot answer the simple question if somebody puts it to you today that you serve three gods. How would you respond to that person? And the Bible says in 1 Peter, he said you must be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks you about your faith. So you can't tell them you don't understand. You are going to hell. You don't know. You are going to hell. That's not an answer. No, that's not that's our cop out. You know, all I know is I believe in Jesus. And if you don't, you will go to hell. You have not answered. You have not won any soul unto the Lord by so responding. On Tuesday, we have prayer from 7 to 7:30. And then from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, we have Bible study. It's an interactive service. You can ask questions. You can say, no, excuse me. I don't agree with that explanation you just gave. And then they can show you from scripture. If they now show you from the Bible, you say, I don't like it. We need to do deliverance. Because our final authority is the word of God. So it's not about emotions or how I feel. We don't do how I feel. We go by what the word says. So it says, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. I don't think we have time for video. Don't worry about the video. Thank you very much. Be ye transformed Be ye transformed. So when I am transformed, God has certain expectations of me. And those expectations is what I have called the marks of a transformed life. And that's what I want to go through very quickly in the remaining time that I have. Amen? The marks of a transformed life. And we will remain in the same Romans chapter 12, but we'll jump down to verse 9. Romans chapter 12 from verse 9. He said, let love be without dissimulation. You see, when you read the scripture, it's good that you read with understanding. You see, that's why we backed up to Romans chapter 11, because this whole conversation started from chapter 11. He was telling them, he said, look, you were not part of this deal in the beginning, but God has grafted you into his own family. He has adopted you as sons. We have taught that this year already in Bible study about adoption, how we have been adopted into the family of God. Amen? He said, you have been adopted into this family. And he's begging them, say, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your life, your bodies, a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. And then the question you must ask, if you are somebody like myself, is, okay, I should present my life a living sacrifice. How exactly am I supposed to do that? Well, that is what he's talking about here now. He said, if you want to present your bodies a living sacrifice to him, this is what you must do. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Number one thing there is love. And your love must be without hypocrisy. Your love must be without hypocrisy. I've seen this before. You know, somebody is greeting somebody else. Oh, Chine, how are you? God bless you. They just had a nice conversation, smiling and laughing with each other. And then, maybe I was walking with Yasmin while I was greeting her. And then as we walked by, I said, look at her. She thinks she's all that. She didn't even beg you. You volunteered compliments that she didn't request for. Not at all. And then you walk right by, so, you know, like I said, English is not my first language. There's a way I want to say it, you know, but you want, you know, let me just tell you, for those, Waralie. You know, she thinks she's all that. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, let love be without dissimulation. That's the number one thing. You must love without hypocrisy. If I have a problem with Chinese, I should be able to tell her, I'm not happy with you. Amen? There was somebody that came in my office this morning, and I said, I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with you, sir. And I told him what the deal was. What is the point in me carrying it? She doesn't know she has offended me. I know she offended me. I refuse to tell her she offended me. And I'm mad at her for offending me. Hello. She doesn't read mind. Just tell her. He said, let your love be without dissimulation. Number two, he says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to good. That's number two. He said, anything that is evil, hate evil. Hate evil. Don't deal in evil. Don't dwell on evil. Next verse, number three. Next verse. Say, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Amen? It means if there's an opportunity, you know, I can let, okay, Chinese, that's enough for you. You know, I can let Abimbola go. Not because I don't need it, I need it, but I just, you go. Let me be a blessing to you. You can have it. Even though I want it as bad, but you can have it. Number three is verse 11. Verse 11, quickly. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. There's 3 points here. Number one is not slothful in business. The Bible says the business of the Lord, the job of the Lord, the word, it requires haste. He requires haste, and I must be diligent. I must be diligent. I must be faithful. I must not be lazy. I cannot be slothful. We're talking about the transformed life. The one that wants to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable. He says, if that's what I want to do, then I cannot be slothful in business. If it's excuses, there's enough excuses to go around everybody. But our lives must be about getting the job done. Getting the job done. Getting the job done. It says, be fervent in spirit. That's number four. Be fervent in the spirit. For someone that has been saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, these are the signs that people will see about your life, and they will know things have changed about you. So they see the way you love. You love without hypocrisy. You love without selfishness. You love completely and totally. You hate evil. The evil you used to laugh and giggle about. You know, all of a sudden they see that. No. You can't stand evil anymore. You can't stand it. You absolutely cannot stand it. They see that about your life. And it is evident. It is not a secret service undercover lifestyle. It's that I just know in my heart. I know in my heart that I love everybody. Well, if we don't see it in your action, how do we know? And love is a verb, is an action word. It's something, it's about something you do. It says, be diligent in business. So one of the things that is evident about a transformed life is your diligence in the things of God. You're not sloppy. You make time for important things. Many people don't read the Bible. Many people don't pray. And then there's prayer meeting, you don't show up. And then there's Bible study, you don't show up. But you don't do these things. You know them. You are slothful in business. And you are cold in the spirit. But the Bible says we must be fervent in the spirit. Fervency in the spirit is a characteristic of a transformed life, of a true believer, of a true Christian. That's number four. Number five, it says serving the Lord. Somebody say serving the Lord. You know, for us to have service like this, a lot of things go into it. The choir came up. They sang. Let's put our hands together for the choir. It was simply awesome. I didn't want it to end. It was simply awesome. A taste of heaven. For the choir to come up like that, there's time that is put into it. There's time that is put into it. The person on the keyboard is a high school student. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. It means if I am genuinely born again, I will serve. I will serve. And there are many opportunities to serve in the church, in this church. We have the ushers. I'm sure the ushers can do with extra hands. So that every Sunday, they are not serving. At least they can have a break. If we have two teams, three teams of ushers, that's not too bad. But we only have one team, so they have to work every Sunday. They can't sit as you are sitting comfortably enjoying the service. We have needs in the children's church. Amen? For the church to be cleaned, to God be the glory, we don't pay anybody to clean it. We have the group we call sanctuary keepers. You never see them. They walk behind the scene. They are not like the choir that we see and we put our hands together for them. But let's put our hands together for sanctuary keepers. Friends, there are opportunities for service. And it's a requirement of us that the Lord has. He said, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. A good Christian is in the Lord's army. A good Christian is in the Lord's service. You know, somebody was arguing with me recently. I said, once I figured that somebody is ignorant, I just keep quiet. There's no point. No, really, there's no point. There's no point. Ephesians 2:8 says, we have been saved by grace through faith. Yeah? That is the truth. It's not by works. Verse 9, it said, not by works so that no man should boast. But jump to Titus chapter 2. Now that you are saved, there is work to be done. Your salvation is not by works. Your salvation is not by service. I've told you that there was one auntie many years ago that used one big word for me. I didn't understand it, so I just smiled. You see, the way you are smiling, many of you are like that too. When they say something, you just, yes, oh, praise the Lord. She said what she was doing in church, she was doing for penance. I'm like, penance? So I just said, yes, penance. Oh, I see. So as soon as I got home, I went to check. I'm like, penance. It's never, until that time, it never happened to me that somebody used any word that I didn't know the meaning. You know, I pride myself in the mastery of the English language. But it filled me that, anyway, cut long story short, I found out that, oh, penance means doing something to pay for the wrong that you have done. I'm like, ha! Ah! So it means she was living her life and then coming to judge you. So she wants to earn salvation by her service. You cannot earn salvation by service. But now that you are saved, there is work to be done. Titus chapter 2. Let's read verse 14. Titus 2:14. Quickly. He said, who gave himself for us, talking about Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, what? Good works. We must be zealous in good works, in evangelism. Amen? In reaching out to souls. Generous in giving. In good works. Jump, move up to verse 7. What does verse 7 say? Of the same chapter. He said, in all things. Somebody say all things. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Good works. There is work to be done now that you are saved. Chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Very quickly. Chapter 3, verse 8. He said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You see, Paul was the mentor of Titus and Timothy and all these guys. So he said, this thing I want you to affirm amongst the people constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what? Answer now. You might not be working, serving today. You will serve tomorrow. Amen. He said that you might maintain good works. Friends, we go to Mexico every year. Every year. It used to be third week, but this year we're going second week. May 12th to 14th. If you're in the medical field and you can support, support. If you can't go, give towards it. God expects us to do good works. How many people do not have a secure give app on their phone? You don't have it. So we all have it? Okay, thank you. Thank you for, we're in church. If you don't wave, you are lying. Okay, if you don't have it, please download it on your phone. Because through the secure give, through the app, you can click on Get Connected, and you will see a list of the ministries that we have in the church, and you can sign up through that. Amen? Friends, it says we must be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. The next verse, Romans 12, I believe that we're on verse 13 now, or 12. Say, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And the next verse says, distributing to the necessity of saints and giving to hospitality. Friends, God expects one of the attributes of your life, of my life, as a child of God, is rejoicing. Because we have a lively hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says we have a lively hope in Christ Jesus because of his resurrection. Because of his resurrection. I challenge you today to turn your life around in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, our scripture of the month, it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in all Judea, Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Friends, listen to me. Please look up. Please look up. The Christian work cannot be done by power and might. The reason a lot of Christians cannot maintain good works is because they lack infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's three things here. It says the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you have power, then you are a witness. Yeah? The Holy Spirit comes, then comes power, then the ability to witness. You cannot witness effectively without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. You cannot. I mean, you can act in knowledge and you will make sense to people, but you cannot be impactful without the Holy Spirit. I want you to rise to your feet this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to talk to the Lord. How is your love life? It's a love without hypocrisy. Be fervent in spirit. Instant in prayer. Abhor that which is evil. Where are you with all of this? Where are you with this in your walk with God? You know, the day the Holy Spirit comes, every excuse in your life will vanish. Every excuse vanishes. It disappears. This morning, I want to pray for a group of people. You're here. You don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I want to pray for you this morning and you will receive the gift of speaking in tongues. And this will radicalize your life. It will radicalize your walk with the Lord. Please come forward very quickly. Our time is fast spent. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. You want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Remember what the Lord told us, that the year 2016 will be the year of resurgence of power and grace. Resurgence of power and grace. This is the power and the grace that we're talking about. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Come forward. We're going to pray in a minute. I want the ministers to come. Please, for those that are in front, lift up your hands unto the Lord. Believe me, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and save you. This is a gift that is promised. It is promised you. It's a gift that is promised you. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the utterance, and then you speak by the witness that is within you. And when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, power is a mystery. You are speaking unto God in the name of Jesus. Where are the ministers?
cry, Holy Ghost, fire.
Jehovah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, I want you to lift up both hands to the Lord. I want to pray for an impartation from above. Mighty God, King of glory. Lord, we are tired of living a chicken life when you have created us to be eagles. Lord, I pray for fresh unction today. Amen. I pray for an impartation from above. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Receive empowerment to be a witness. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray. Your word says, oh, that thou will rend open the heavens. Jehovah, tear open the heavens today. Let your presence fall down into every life, into every situation. In the name of Jesus. Your life will never remain the same again. The church of God will never remain the same again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.